Today, I want to talk to you about what the Bible says about aliens from outer space. My name is Dave DeWitt. I live in Western Michigan. I have a wife, Ellen, three daughters, nine grandchildren, graduated from Michigan State University with a BS in mathematics in 1968. Ellen and I were married that year and moved to Dallas, where I received a master's of theology degree from Dallas Theological Seminary in 1972, later a doctoral ministry degree in 1985. Ellen and I have worked our adult lives in the areas of discipleship in East Texas, East Tennessee, Western Michigan. Our discipleship includes 40 years of teaching in Eastern Europe and the Soviet bloc countries. During these years of teaching, we've encountered many questions which most groups don't tend to answer. Today, I want to address the question, what does the Bible say about aliens from outer space? By way of definition, technically an alien is any foreigner, but in the sense we're using it here, the word means what Merriam-Webster calls coming from another world or extraterrestrial. There are two opposing secular views on the subject, the Drake equation and the Fermi paradox. The Drake equation is used to estimate the number of active, communicative extraterrestrial civilizations there could be in the Milky Way galaxy. This is not a calculation equation such as E equals mc squared. This is a formulation estimation made in 1961 by Frank Drake as a way of stimulating the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. The Fermi paradox is the discrepancy between the lack of conclusive evidence of the advanced extraterrestrial life and the apparently highly likelihood of its existence. Basically, the Drake equation says the probability of lots of alien, if there's a probability of lots of alien civilizations, where is everybody? According to the Pew Research Centers, the percentage of people who believe in extraterrestrial life exist on other planets, existing on other planets, includes 65% of adult Americans, 55% of Protestants, 85% of atheists and agnostics. Also, 57% of Americans believe aliens definitely or probably exist. Let's be clear. Number one, there is no evidence that anyone has ever observed any extraterrestrial alien life of any kind, not here, not on any other planet, not anywhere. Number two, there is no evidence that anyone has ever observed any spaceship that can be demonstrated as coming from anywhere other than Earth. If there is one, where is it? Why can't we examine it? Why is it not in a museum? Three, there is no evidence that anyone has ever observed any phenomena, formation structures or events, pyramids, Stonehenge, circles and cornfields, that can be demonstrated as having originated from anywhere other than this Earth. Four, there is no evidence that any aliens have tried to contact us. We've been sending radio waves out into space since 1974, and today that includes very advanced radio telescopes, but we have heard back nothing, complete silence. Five, there's no evidence that any planet other than Earth has ever been observed where any kind of life could possibly come from. All such claims are blind faith assumptions with no observable, demonstrable evidence whatsoever. Bringing a theory to evidence is not the same as getting information from evidence. A Pentagon study released Friday, March 8, 2024, quote, found no evidence of aliens or extraterrestrial intelligence, close quote. The Defense Department's All Domain Anomaly Research Resolution Office found no evidence that any of them, that is the UFOs, were signs of alien life. A NASA study found, quote, no evidence that any of the reported objects were extraterrestrial in origin, close quote. NASA, government report says this, quote, our telescopes in space and on the ground and our remote sensing technology grow ever more powerful. Yet so far, the only life we know of is right here at home. For the moment, we're staring out into the void, hoping someone's staring back. Close quote. If there are aliens, where are they? If the Earth is a model of evolution, which is the alien existence assumption, then evolution produced this planet we live on, teeming with life virtually everywhere. Since the natural universe is a product of nature, why is there not multitudes of planets teeming with life? And since we have produced an atmosphere filled with high-tech equipment, communication, we should expect to find that throughout the universe, but there's only silence. And since this, according to evolution, has been going on for 13.8 billion years, the whole universe should be teeming with everything from primitive to sophisticated life forms. So, as the Fermi paradox asks, where is everybody? What about UFOs? UFOs, unidentified flying objects, also called UAPs, unidentified anomalous phenomena, by the so-called whistleblowers who reported to Congress in July 27, 2023, that there have been repeated sightings of UAPs, according to, this is according to CBS News. Unidentified flying objects are, by definition, unidentified, not identified as alien. UFOs are objects, often lights seen in the sky that observers cannot identify. Examples include Venus, satellites, International Space Station, space shuttles, rockets, observation aircraft, weather detection equipment, meteors, balloons, fireflies, aurora, and lenticular clouds. When the subject of aliens comes up, people usually think about UFOs. The implication usually is if we can't explain them, that proves that they're alien spaceships. But such implication violates common sense and the laws of logic. It's one thing to interpret something we can observe, it's quite another to explain undocumented stories with no actual evidence available for explanation. The illogical reasoning goes like this: an alien spacecraft, would not be explained by natural means. A certain object or light is unexplained by natural means. Therefore, the unidentified object or light is an alien spacecraft. This is a logical fallacy called affirming the consequent. It's equivalent to saying, one, there's no gas. If there's no gas in the car won't run. Number two, the car won't run. So therefore, there's no gas in the car. From Wars of the Worlds to Star Trek to E.T., Star Wars to the television series X-Files, we have been told the universe is full of aliens. Wikipedia lists over 400 films featuring extraterrestrials. I know of no TV program or movie about aliens, which concludes that they do not exist and that we're alone in the universe. We're being brainwashed into a worldview that assumes there are aliens. It seems that Jesus was talking about worldviews when he said in Matthew 23, if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that's in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Several problems need to be addressed. The basic evolution assumption is this: since life evolved on Earth, and there are precisely 2 trillion planets, then there must be a huge number of planets with life on them. Now remember, the alien assumption is about material life like ours in this physical universe. This is not a discussion about life from another universe, such as the realm of angels or demons. So the question remains, where is everybody? I want to explore that a bit. Number one, if UFOs are aliens, no reasonable suggestion has ever been made as to how they could travel for millions of years to get here. Physicist Albert Einstein proved nothing in the universe can go faster than the speed of light. It's the speed limit of the universe. So as matter approaches the speed of light, its mass becomes infinite. So only light, photons with zero mass, can travel to speed of light. Even if aliens could go the speed of light, it would take them 2.5 million years to get here from our nearest neighboring Andromeda galaxy. If we factor in time dilation, the observation that time decreases with speed, we might suggest that for them it would take wouldn't take that long. But since any spaceship would have mass, it could only be a fraction of the speed of light. Any way you figure it, it would take them millions of years to get here. No matter how advanced we could imagine their technology, there's no reasonable way that could happen. Number two, if UFOs are aliens, how do they find us? Did they shoot a spaceship into random direction out into the space and the universe and just happen to find us? The odds of that are way beyond statistical zero. If they were looking for us, Homo sapiens, we didn't come into existence until after they left. According to evolutionists, Homo sapiens appeared around 190,000 BCE. So aliens would have left millions of years before we evolved enough for them to find us. All of this is statistically absurd. Number three, if UFOs are aliens, how'd they travel through hostile space to get here? Outside our solar system, we see what happens to be acts of, what appears to be acts of chaos and destruction everywhere. Right now, there are planets crashing into their stars, unattached planets crashing into other planets, shockwaves of thousands of degrees traveling through the universe, stars eating up other stars, comets crashing into planets, black holes sucking up everything in their path, whole galaxies colliding with each other, and supernovas destroying entire galaxies. The universe appears to be a huge place full of spectacular destruction. The assumption that aliens somehow survived all that, traveling through it for millions of years, to find us, and we had not yet evolved into the human beings that they when they left, is to say at least highly unlikely, more like to say absurd. There's some additional problems. Number four, the chances of life evolving is mathematically impossible everywhere. Scientificforums.net reports this, quote, "There is less than one chance in 10 to the 40,000th power that life could have organized, originated by random chance or by random trials." 10 to the 40,000th power is one with 40,000 zeros after it. That enormous information content of even the simplest living systems cannot, in our view of, be generated by what are often called natural processes. For life to have originated on the Earth, it would be necessary that quite explicit instruction should have been provided for it, for its assembly. There's no way which we can expect to avoid to get the need for information, no way in which we can simply get by with a bigger and better organic soup, as we ourselves hoped might be the possible case a year or two ago. Close quote. That's all a quote from scienceforum.net. The mathematical probability of life evolving on any given planet is zero. For example, the probability of life evolving on a planet in our solar system, say Mars or Venus, or Earth for that matter, is zero. The probability of life evolving in the next closest exoplanet, the exoplanet Proximity Centauri b, is zero. An exoplanet is any planet outside our solar system. If we go to the next closest exoplanet, the probability of life evolving is zero. If we would examine each of the estimated 2 trillion planets in our universe, one at a time, each will have the mathematical probability of zero for life evolving on it. Now, I was a math major, so I understand these complex formulas. 0 plus 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 0 equals 0. 6. Alien life evolving on other planets would require that planet to have life-preserving conditions for over 4 billion years. Evolutionists tell us that it took about life 4.5 billion years to evolve on Earth. But that's within a very narrow range of life-preserving condition. It's only reasonable to suppose a life-supporting planet would have really good weather for 4.5 billion years. Of course, they need to more than that if they were going to be more advanced than we are. They'd need a sun that has to be the right size. They'd and density, the right distance from the of their planet from the sun, which needs a nearly circular orbit with a perfect magnetic field. Their planet needs to have a moon like ours. If their moons were just a bit different size, there'd be extreme changes in tides, and their planet's axis would wander chaotically, causing violent climates. One might suggest aliens evolved differently. But remember, we're talking about life in this physical universe, so they'd have to follow the same physical laws that we observe here. 7. Alien life would have to evolve not just physically, but socially. Alien life to reach us needs to develop a very complex ways. Not only must they evolve their technology to the point where they can invent tools and vehicles which can traverse billions of space and millions of years, but they must be able to develop a language that allows for conceptual communication of artificial intelligence. They must develop science and math and be able to solve problems of social interaction beyond anything we've experienced anywhere. They'd need to be able to discuss with one another abstract concepts using a complex grammar, such development would require involving solving moral dilemmas, overcoming wars, and deceit. Beyond anything observable on Earth, an alien civilization would have to evolve more than ours in order to not kill each other or destroy their own planet before they left to come here. Alien life assumes evolution. The idea of life on other planets assumes evolution to be true. Evolution is the religion of atheism. You can find evolutionists who are not atheists, but you'd be hard pressed to find an atheist who's not an evolutionist. And the whole point of evolution is to prove the Bible is not true. Looking for aliens is all about disproving the Bible with evolution of life on other planets. There's nothing about finding life on other planets. We're spending millions of dollars not to prove there's life on other planets, but to prove life evolved on other planets. Suppose, for example, that you asked the scientific community if they thought that there's life on other planets because God created it there. You'd find real fast that they are only interested in life evolving there. That's why they're all excited about finding signs of water, because they believe, contrary to all observation, contrary to what's mathematically possible, that life evolved from water. This is all about evolution, and evolution is all about disproving the Bible. Well, let's talk about the Bible and extraterrestrial aliens. CompellingTruth.org says, this is a quote, there is no mention of extraterrestrial life in the Bible, but neither does the Bible rule out the possibility of life on other planets, close quote. But their statement is at best irrelevant. Obviously, since the Bible doesn't mention aliens, it doesn't rule them out. But the more significant question is, does the Bible support the idea of extraterrestrial aliens living on other planets in a three-dimensional universe? The biblical authors did not seem to leave room for aliens. The correct interpretation of anything is whatever the author intended. So the relevant question to ask about the authors of the Bible is, did they intend for us to consider the possibility of aliens? Or we might say, God inspired the authors of the Bible to include his meaning. Then the question is, did God intend for the readers of the Bible to understand he was referring to aliens? Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But in 14 and 15, it says, God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years, and let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Psalm 19:1, the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Psalm 115:16, the heavens of the Lord, but the earth was given, he has given to the sons of men. These passages, the word heavens refers to the realm of the galaxies of the universe. The Bible tells us that the earth was made for the inhabitation, and the heavenly bodies were made for signs and seasons and lights and expanse in the heavens. It does not sound like the biblical authors intended us to understand there is the possibility that the heavens are places of habitation by other physical life forms. Sounds like the authors intended to describe the uniqueness of the earth as a place for life. Isaiah 40:22, it's he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its habitations are like grasshoppers who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. Isaiah 42:5. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, and who gives breath to the people on it and spread spirit to those who walk on it. The heavens were created and stretched out by God, but the earth was in its inhabitants were people with breath and spirit. The assumption seems to be that there is only people with breath and spirit on this earth. The curse of Adam and Eve is extended to the whole universe. In Romans 8:20-22, we read, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will also be set free from its slavery to corruption and to the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. That's a close quote from Romans 8, 20 to 22. Here's a excellent answer from Answers in Genesis, and I quote, "When we consider how the salvation plan might apply to any hypothetical extraterrestrial, but otherwise human-like beings, we're presented with a problem. If there were Vulcans or Klingons out there, how would they be saved? They would not, they're not blood relatives of Jesus, and so Christ's shed blood cannot pay for their sin. One might at first suppose that Christ also visited their world, lived there, and died there as well. But this is anti-biblical. Christ died once for all, 1 Peter 3:18, Hebrews 9:27-28, and Hebrews 10:10. Jesus is now and forever both God and man. He's not God. He's not. He's not an alien. One might suppose that alien beings have never sinned, in which case they would not need to be redeemed. But then another problem emerges. If they suffer the effects of sin, despite having never sinned, Adam's sin has affected all of creation, not just mankind. Romans 8, 20 to 22 makes it clear that the entirety of creation suffers under the bondage of corruption. These kinds of issues highlight the problem of attempting to incorporate an anti-biblical notion into Christian worldview. That's a close quote. That's all a quote from answersingenesis.org. Could UFOs be angels or demons? We can certainly not rule out the possibility of that UFOs could come from the heavenly realm or dimension where angelic beings dwell. We know both angels and demons have invaded our universe. Ezekiel also observed in Ezekiel 1:14, living beings that ran to and fro like bolts of lightning. But we're not here discussing the nature of angelic beings. If UFOs are angels or demons or one of the living creatures around the throne of God, they're not aliens from other planets. But understand there's no biblical example of angels or demons doing things the world identifies as alien activity. Summary and conclusion. Alien life would require a planet other than Earth, which is physically stable with favorable weather for at least 4 billion years, so life could evolve on it. Even though that's mathematically impossible everywhere, moving the problem to the hostilities of outer space does not change the mathematical impossibility of life evolving from non-living matter. Aliens on such planets would have to overcome educational, social, and moral barriers while creating a technology that allows them to traverse space of through a hostile universe, and a trip that would take millions of years. The most rational conclusion, according to the preponderance of the evidence, and beyond any reasonable doubt, is that we're alone. The idea that this world, that this would change on other planets is a blind faith belief in evolution. The theory of aliens is not about finding aliens, it's about finding proof of the theory of evolution, which is all about disproving the Bible. The Bible tells us that the earth was made to be inhabited and the heavenly bodies were for signs and seasons and lights and expanse of the heavens. The Bible talks about physical material life on earth, which contrasts with the realm of angels and God, visible versus invisible. But the only place mentioned for physical material life is here on earth. Questions to consider. Do observations of outer space support the evolutionary idea that there is alien life on other planets, or that we're alone and the Earth is unique? Do observations from the Bible support the evolution idea that there is alien life on other planets, or that life was uniquely created on Earth? Could there be alien life on other planets? Yes, of course, there could be, but we have no evidence for it. Could God have created life on other planets? Of course, he could have, but we have no biblical evidence to support that idea. So if he did, it's none of our business. Thank you for listening. A longer paper on this subject is available on our website, relationalconcepts.org.